to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. Got a couple things for you today. First off, I got an interview with Bruce Brown. FlyOhio.com was on the PPG big list and saw where he had come out of retirement, and man, saw all the love that you guys were giving him for coming back into the fold, and the big thing about him being such a qualified instructor was everybody was happy to see him back, and I wanted to give him a call and see if he'd like to come on and talk. Ask him about what's new going on at FlyOhio.com. I don't know how many of you know about the Free Spirit paramotor that Bruce actually manufactures out of Ohio, but it's got a nice new look refresh. The Free Spirit 09, nice upgrades that he done to it, or some things that he actually had changed around that he said he wanted to do and had the chance to do that during his kind of, I'll say, semi-retirement, because it sounds like he actually did some training while he was retired, so. But anyway, got a chance to, you know, say welcome back. So the other thing I have for you is the first installment of the MacGyver Minutes that I had talked about, you know, basically looking for things out there that people are making that that's really cool, you know. And I had talked about telling you guys how to make your own personal comm helmet and finally got a chance to finish it up. Sorry about the delay. It's easy to do. Gosh, it's really easy to do. So check the show notes for the links for the muffs and some of the communication stuff, and just try it. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. The other thing, don't forget about the Beach Blast sign up and also the Britton Shaw Memorial Day fly-in, the Endless Foot Drags, and also the Flight Junkie stuff. So, hey, if there's anybody else out there that has a fly-in that I may have overlooked or just don't know about, and you'd like to come on and talk about it, give me a buzz and or drop me a line, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I'm sure there's some out there that I probably have missed. I kind of go on the USPA page and just see what's on there. A lot of them don't. Some of them don't have like exact dates, and I've been kind of waiting for exact dates And I may, like I said, I may have just overlooked. So, and there's some I've actually got lined up that I'm gonna talk to them here pretty soon about it. So, anyway, sit back, relax. Thank you for listening to me ramble, talk, interview these guys. I guess I'm getting better at it. So, the numbers are getting bigger. So. Who's listening to me? So I'm flattered and like to thank you guys for listening. Anyway, I'll stop there. I'm rambling again. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Bye.
Welcome back, everybody. Talking PPG Radio. Will Jones here. I have on the line with me today Bruce Brown. How are you today, Bruce?
I'm excellent. Well, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, I'll tell you what, PPG list, there was a big announcement there. Let's see. You decided to come out of retirement, and man, I thought it'd be great to get back in touch with you, and a lot of people were saying, hey, welcome back, and so welcome back.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'll tell you one other thing. There's a lot of people that actually are on the list that know you. I try to get some information about you and about how long you've been in power paragliding and what got you started, and I think we'll start there first. So can you give us a little information about yourself?
Well, let's see. Originally, I got started in paragliding type flight back in 1985. I flew one of the first paraplanes, you know, powered parachutes
yes.
that came out. They had a, back then you could go and take a 4-hour lesson at an airport, and they literally would run down the runway with you and throw you into the air in these in the powered parachute. You know, it was an old had two solo engines on it with
mm-hmm.
counter rotating propellers.
Yeah,
and that's how I got introduced to, you know, the type of flight that we do with a motor and a paraglider parachute kind of thing. And that was in 1985. And then I kicked tires and got videos and collected you know, literature for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then in 96, I saw in the back of Popular Science the Easy Up plans to build your own.
Oh, okay.
And I started to research those, and finally I discovered that by the time you did all that, it was better off to go out and just buy one.
Right, right.
So I ended up buying a DK Whisper and, you know, got into to flying powered paragliders with a DK Whisper, and then I became a dealer for them.
Yeah.
And that was in, I started in 96, and then in 98, I got my basic flight instructor, became a BFI, and, you know, started training powered paragliders and selling powered paragliders just part-time. At one point, I did have a regular corporate job.
Oh, okay.
And then in 2001, I started at it full-time when I started to import the Airfur powered paragliders from Spain.
Okay, yeah.
So I became the U.S. importer for the Air Ferdinand.
Okay.
And I did that for, what, 5-6 years? And then in 2005, I developed my own unit called the Free Spirit Paramotor.
Right.
And started manufacturing those here and started selling the Free Spirit model.
Excellent. Yeah, I've taken a look at the Free Spirit and stuff. We'll talk about that. I know you got some new
okay.
stuff with that. And now, you went in retirement on us. I guess retirement from training. And, well, what made you come back? I mean, I'm sure, did you enjoy the time off, or are you just missing it? Or?
Well, I think, you know, I'd been training since 98, and
mm-hmm.
I think I got kind of burned out.
Okay.
And you know, it's... if you've done any instruction, you know, particularly full time, it's pretty consuming.
Yeah.
And I just needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided last January that I was going to kind of take the season off and, you know, just retire. So I did that. Got a chance to go to some fly-ins around the country that I hadn't been able to go to before because I'd been training. You know,
yeah.
most of the weekends and summer, and you know, I was busy training. So. I decided, you know, that I was going to get out, and I got a chance to do some of that, had a lot of fun with that. And then I had a few guys come to me in the fall that actually I had sold equipment to that wanted to sell their equipment.
Yes.
And so I agreed to train some people that end up purchasing that equipment, and had a good experience. You know, I had kind of fun at it. I decided, you know, I missed it, and then I decided to, you know, kind of get back into selling equipment, and I took the winner here and kind of reworked the Free Spirit.
Free Spirit, yes.
Made all the upgrades to the unit that I had wanted to do, but, you know, just didn't take the time or the effort or energy to do.
Yeah.
And so I kind of revamped that and reworked that, and you know, I've come out now with the new 2009 version of the Free Spirit.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about that. Yeah, I've looked. Actually, it's funny because when you retired, and I was trying to take, you know, it's been an into the sport, and you always look at all these websites and see, you know, because I went back to your website many times just looking to see if you had changed anything, and really, mm-hmm. you know, you get to a point where, well, it doesn't look like, I guess he's really going to get out of it, but it looks like he's still selling equipment, but never really called to see if you were still doing it. But then when I saw you got on a list, oh, wait a minute, he's back into it, went right to your website, and he's like, whoa, wait a minute, he's upgraded his Free Spirit. So
yeah.
Tell you what, tell us a little bit about your Free Spirit. It looks really good. I have to say, nice upgrades from what I could see. So go right ahead. Tell us a little bit about your new Free Spirit.
Well, the probably the thing that I wanted to accomplish with this new kind of engineering effort was to make a machine that truly was pretty easily convertible from a low connection to a high connection.
Okay.
the original Free Spirit could be done, but there was, you know, some strapping, and, you know, you had to move some buckles and some shackles, and, you know, it was a pretty, not complicated, but it took a little bit of time. You really had to want to make the change. And I wanted to do one that you could do literally within a minute, you know, change it from
a high connection
to a low connection. So it's because one of the things that a lot of people do not like about a low, and I prefer a low connection machine. You know, your risers are lower, your brakes are lower, your hands, instead of being up, you know, up above your head, you could almost fly with them right at shoulder level.
Okay.
So, you know, you're not reaching way up to hold your brakes. So I do kind of like the low. But a lot of people are, you know, they don't like the activity of the paraglider being transferred to the seat, because you do start to feel that a bit more with moving kind of weight shift arms, you know, comfort bars.
I was going to ask you that. What was the biggest?
Seat moves a little bit more, so that can be kind of disconcerting for some people.
Okay.
More of a paragliding feel you get with a low connection machine. So I wanted to develop a machine where the arms now are both movable. They will pivot up and down, and you can do the weight shift with a low connection machine, or you can pin them in place so they don't move, and move the carabiners up to a high connection machine, all within with just a minute.
Oh, so it's a part of your unit. It's not something separate that you actually have to buy. I mean, this comes with.
Correct.
Okay.
It comes that way.
Okay.
And you can either hook the carabiner in the low connection, pull the pins out, and the arms are movable, and you got a low connection weight shift machine. Or you can put the pins in, the arms become stationary, move the carabiners up to the top, and you've got a high connection conventional machine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I like
it's
that.
It's nice because I think guys that maybe are used to a high connection machine, and I liken a high connection, low connection to kind of like making the transition from a right-hand throttle to a left-hand throttle.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Once you learn on one, that seems to be, you know, the best ever made, and you're never going to change.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's a lot like that when you make the change from a low to a high. It's just, it's kind of awkward at first. It feels uncomfortable. It doesn't feel natural. But once you kind of get used to it, you can, you know, I can fly with both hands now. I still feel a little bit more awkward with my left hand because my throttle is a right-hand throttle.
Oh.
You know, so I think the switch from high connection to low connection is a lot like that transition.
Okay.
Takes a little bit of getting used to.
Now, see, you still have the Black Devil engine that comes with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have a fifth motor mount? I didn't know there was. I'm not familiar with the Black Devil, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I didn't know that you actually have a fifth motor mount on it. That's.
The Black Devil is designed with four conventional, you know, motor mounts that you would have on any machine. And then back directly beneath the crankcase is also, there's a little screw hole in there that you can screw on a fifth motor mount, and you can actually have a fifth motor mount. So, you know, the engine isn't kind of cantilevered way out there, out the back of a machine. It actually has a mount underneath it that you can use to support the engine. And The Free Spirit design originally did have that, but it wasn't as strong as the new one. The new one, there's kind of like an A-frame that comes up from the frame below it and supports that fifth motor mount directly underneath the center of the motor. And that it absorbs a lot of the vibration, and of course it's much stronger if you have a hard butt landing when you come in, because you've got that mount with steel framing that goes all the way to the base of the unit that supports the back end of the motor. And what it also allows us to do is use typically JPX Italia that manufactures the Black Devil will supply two types of rubber motor mounts. They make a harder rubber motor mount that is used if you don't use the fifth motor mount.
Yes.
And they make a little bit of softer mount that absorbs a little bit more, that if you use that fifth motor mount, you can use those softer rubber motor mounts.
Oh.
So it tends to absorb a little bit more of the vibration when you use a fifth motor mount, because you can also use the softer rubber motor mount.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Guys,
and if you go to the flyohio.com, Com website, you can see pretty close-up pictures of how that fifth motor mount actually works.
Yeah, that's
there's pictures on there.
Mm-hmm. That's the redesign of the cage. Very nice. Looks very nice. And you look like you have a complete, what's your complete package deal here? And for what, $7,500?
Yeah.
Includes the motor, prop,
yeah,
deluxe harness.
That's everything.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's some extras too in there. You know, you get a siphon tube that helps you load and unload fuel from the fuel tank, which is kind of nice. Little jiggle siphon that's kind of clever. And, a mirror to check your fuel and an oil mixing bottle. You know, a few little extras too.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the package.
The biggest thing I think everybody was happy to see that you were back was training. You are a USPA certified trainer?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the messages on the big list were saying, man, great to be back. Got another great instructor back. Are you still you still have your same field as, which right outside of Toledo, if I'm correct?
I have a place out in kind of out in the country, surrounded by farms, where my shop is, and I do a bit of training there. I have about a 3.5 acre field, grass field there, right alongside of my shop and my house, that I do some ground handling with students, and then I also, it's a little bit tight for people to take off out of, because there's big power lines along the road, and there's the lines that come back to my house, and there's the tree line, so it's not great for new people to fly out, so I don't have any students ever fly out of my property there.
Okay.
I also rent some acreage from a farmer a little bit closer up to the turnpike, up in a little town called Perrysburg, which is about 5 miles north of my house, and that's pretty open up there. That's surrounded by farm fields, so that works out a little bit better for new students to fly out of, since it's much more open up there, surrounded by wheat fields and corn fields.
Oh, man, that's great.
I think I stopped in one time to
check out the place and look at it. And I know you had several fly-ins and stuff there, haven't you, if I remember correctly? And
used to do a pretty big fly-in here, and I kind of stopped those a few years ago.
A few years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I think 2005 was the last time. They just got a little bit too busy, a little bit too crazy, and there's
a lot of work.
Syndrome I called fly-in syndrome.
Yeah.
People, when they come to fly-ins, they you've got some new people that tend to be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some experienced people that tend to try and show what they've got, and it tends to, people get a little bit nervous, get a little bit edgy, get a little bit hurried to get out there and fly and start making mistakes, and things happen, and it just got, for me, it just got a little too nerve-wracking.
Oh, I understand. Really?
Yeah.
A lot of work. A lot of work.
Yeah.
Are you planning to go to any fly-ins, show off your new free spirit, or have any lined up that you're thinking about going to?
No, not right of now. You know, we used to have the Parastars Convention, and eventually USPPA kind of took that over, and Jeff Goins sponsored that a few years down at the Fantasy of Flight, but haven't done that in a few years. There was the Florida group kind of took that over, but I don't think it fared too well, or they decided to get out of it. So there's no real spring kind of. We used to have that spring national fly-in that got us all, from the north up here down south, and let us do a little bit of flying. I don't think there's anything coming up. Have you heard of anything that's coming?
No, not really. As far like it was with, like you said, the Parastar stuff down there. Or the no, not to the saying it's a convention. So the one thing that I'm hoping actually happens is this new fly-in that's coming up, the Beach Blast that's in Panama City. If it gets as big as it looked like it can be right there at the resort that they have, that could be a great place for our spring convention situation. If this first year goes good, I can see that becoming like a convention type thing. So, I don't know if you know about that, but John Black.
Yeah, I've heard of it. When is that?
It's actually May 7th through the 10th. Okay. Yes, and it's and I know he's having vendors there, and he's got when I talked to him, he had Santa Croce's coming. Several guys have already committed to come that way. Bring the new Green Eagle. It's going to be there with DeFore and his wife are going to be there. So it could. It's one of those situations where it really could be a great spring, you know, convention thing. So hopefully it'll go really, you know, great this year, and they'll ask us to come back and everything.
Well, geez, that's almost flying time here, though.
I
always used to like about the Parastars convention, it was March, April when the weather was still kind of crappy up here, and you always look forward to kind of breaking free and going down to Florida and getting a chance to fly with shorts on as opposed to long term.
Yes, you're exactly right. So, but hopefully, hopefully that'll turn out to be a really cool thing. That's one of the things I'm gonna go to. So, I tell you what, anything else you'd like to tell the folks today about? Like you said, you can go to flyohio.com to get more information on the Free Spirit and training. His email address is all on there, all the information you need to get in touch with Bruce. And, well, Bruce, if you have anything you'd like to tell everybody, or go right ahead. And I thank you for the time that you gave me today.
Okay. Well, no, I'm looking forward to the season. I think I got a couple units sold already, and people getting ready to come in for training. So it's a little bit slower. You know, people I think are holding back with any large purchase, like the automobile industry or anything else. You know, they're kind of watching their dollars. But you know, powered paragliding is still one of the most reasonably priced forms of aviation there is. And you know, you ask guys that fly airplanes and helicopters and everything else, and they'll tell you, you know, their powered paraglider is probably the most fun of any of them. It's a good buy for the dollar. You know, reasonably priced. You can
take it anywhere.
Get out there, and you know, it doesn't cost you much per hour to fly. Equipment can last forever if you take care of it. So it's still a good bargain.
Absolutely, yeah. And portability is just, you know, take it, you know, anywhere, you know, within reason, one of three reasons. So, yeah, without a doubt. So, I would like to thank you once again for coming on. I greatly appreciate your time.
Well, all right, Bruce Brown, flyohio.com. Go to his website and check out the new look of this Free Spirit. Really nice. I don't know how many are familiar with the older design of the Free Spirit, but this 09 Free Spirit is really nice looking. Like that fifth mount ideal. Excellent. New cage. The high-low hook-end. Very nice. It's a pretty, very pretty motor unit. So, and I'd like to thank Bruce for coming on at this time. One of the things I didn't get to ask him, which I forgot about it, was I don't know how many of you guys actually get the Ultraflight magazine. He's got an article in a little column or in the March 09 Ultraflight magazine. Very nice. You just got to read it. It's really nice. I really enjoyed it. Controllable and uncontrollable PPG and the lesson of the butterfly. Very nice. Bruce is probably one of the nicest guys that I would say at the top of the list in power paragliding today. Qualified instructor. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to answer any questions. Go to his website for more information. And if you have questions, give him a call. He'll probably just... Very nice guy, and very nice guy. And like I said, I'd like to say thank you again to him for coming on. Okay, up next is the first segment of the MacGyver Minutes, and guys, just you know, I just kind of talked through it, went through it a little bit. Go to the show notes to get some of the links to some of the pieces and parts that I actually the muffs, the comm stuff. It's easy to do. If you need pictures, I'll send you some pictures. Just drop me a line. I'll send you some pictures of it. I'll have a YouTube spot up on it. Like I said, I'm actually working on a website. Hopefully, it'll be up here soon. Once I figure out the program, I'm working on a new program. But anyway, hey, thanks a lot, and talking PPG Radio. Bye. Hello, Will Jones here, talking PPG Radio. Well, this would be my first MacGyver Minute segment. I've been talking about talking you guys through making a calm helmet. New guy, experienced guy, somebody just have always been interested in maybe making their own calm helmet. I've made several of them, about three or four of them. One time I was going to sell them, but it's too much trouble, really. People send them back. It's not working with the radio, so it's. I'd rather just go ahead and show you how to, or tell you how, and I will be able to show you how to make one. I am making a YouTube spot for a calm helmet, so I'm still putting that together. But first, I'm going to go ahead and try to talk you through it. It's very simple to make. You need just a few simple tools, and the things that you need, like the earmuff, the helmet. You probably will have $100 in a calm helmet where you go to some of these websites and you see you can pay up to $300+ for a calm helmet. Now, this is not, I mean, it's quality. It is quality, don't get me wrong, but it's maybe not the, you know, motorcycle helmet. You know, it is a BMX helmet that you'll be using. The muffs, well, let's just get started. The first thing you need to do is just go ahead to Amazon.com is where I found my Pelotro earmuffs from. And I have a link to them in the show notes. $8.99. Now, you can buy them up to $30. The ones that if you go to the link on the in the show notes, you'll see it has the attachment. Most of these attach to the a construction helmet, and you know they have little slots. That's why you see the little butterfly wings is what I call that are on them, which will get rid of those. You don't need those. So, and they do have other ones that are $30, a lot more expensive, but these work just fine. I'm able to hear my music in my helmet and my muffs with no problem at all. So, the next thing, of course, you need is the helmet part. BMX helmet. I personally like the Bell BMX helmet. You can go to Walmart, but when I went to Walmart, most of their stuff is youth stuff. So go to a sporting goods store. Like here is Dick's Sporting Goods. You can find a great BMX helmet, different colors, shapes, sizes. Okay, guys, next thing you need is tools. Drill bit, hot glue gun, screwdriver, soldering iron with solder, black electrical tape, heat shrink, and a Dremel tool. Very simple tools, and let's get going. Okay, first thing we're going to work on is the muffs. Okay, hopefully you ordered the Peltro 101s, the ones on Amazon. Like I said, you can do some other ones and you can figure it out. I think most of them are attaching about the same way, but what I'm working with is the ones that I actually put in the show notes to the Amazon, the $8.99 ones, which are great. They work fine. Okay, you have the attachment point for the muff, and you need to take that little Phillips screw and unscrew it, and it will come apart in three pieces. You have two in your hand, and then one will actually be attached still to the muff itself. The top piece, go ahead and just put it with the muff. What you want is actually the attachment point to the helmet. Looks like a little spokes and a little butterfly type thing, so we're going to work with that real quick. Right there in the middle, you'll see that's where the screw goes in. What we need to do first is get your drill. You need to drill that hole out because the bolt, nut and bolt that you're going to use to hold the muff to the helmet is going to go right through there. And right now, of course, if you look around, it doesn't go all the way through. And it's just a little short Phillips screwdriver to hold that all together. But we're going to use a 1-inch, 1.5-inch bolt to go right through there to attach to the helmet. So go ahead and drill it out to the size that you have. I think 3/8 is what I had, nut and bolt to go all the way through. If you use a metric, you can use metric. You can use whatever you want. Like I said, just go to Lowe's or Home Depot and get the nuts and bolts that you'll need for this. So, and go ahead and drill it out. And then the next thing you need is your Dremel tool and a cutoff wheel. And you're going to have to cut that spacer off. Make sure it's nice and flat, and because you're going to use as much as you can of that. So just be careful and try not to cut too much away with your cutoff tool. It should work no matter what. You just need it just to put it to cover that space, so you don't have to have a big old bolt for your helmet or to hold the muff to the helmet. So that's why I cut that off. So once you cut that off, and you, well, once you've drilled it out, cut it off, go ahead, you can actually fit it up there, and you'll see what I'm talking about. This fits right in there, and this is where you take a little washer there, and you take the nut and or the bolt that you have, and you slide it right through there. And this is basically what's going to attach to the helmet, so which is really cool. And you go ahead and do the other one the same way, and then we'll talk about putting the radio gear in it. Next is the communication part of the comm helmet. Open face helmet, which means boom mic. What you will find, or what I use, is basically it's a Chinese product, eBay. I have found several websites that actually have these little communication packs. You have to make sure you know what radio you have. This is geared towards the FSR, the Family Service Radio, Motorola, Cobra, I can't think of any of the other ones right now, but there are several, Uniden, Midland. So you need to make sure, find out, is it a 2-pin or is it just a 1-pin? The things you need to really pay attention to, so you won't have to send it back. There's one website that I went to where you can order a radio and a communication system, so that takes care of, if you don't have a radio, you can go ahead and order a radio and the communication part, then you know it is, you know, the communication part that you need. eBay, there's a couple of websites, and you can probably even, if you go to footflyer.com and Jeff Goen, they came up with a communication system that, you know, push-to-talk system that you could use too, that seems like working out really good. So, but what I use is a Chinese pack that comes with everything you need, a finger button, which is a push-to-talk button. It's actually made for handlebars, but anyway, that's what you need next. So, okay, this is where it gets kind of tricky, because depending on the communication part, you know, the Chinese communication part that you get, there's a couple of things you will have to do. I've used, like I said, I've used two or three different communication setups. Not that I was trying to get two of the three different ones. Just when I ordered it, something else came. So now this is where we have to get the earmuffs into the, or get the communication part into the earmuffs. There are two ways that you can do this. This is where you're going to need a bigger drill bit. And the communication part I'm using right now, it actually unscrews and comes apart. I have another communication one that actually just pulls apart, and you have to, and the thing is, you'll see guys that actually, these things actually comes with a little Velcro stick that you can stick it actually right to the side of the muff. But me, I'm into looking good. I wanted to look like some of the professional ones where the boom is coming out of the muff, so I don't stick it on the side. I hide all my wires and to try to make it look really professional and nice. Now, the other thing you have to decide on, do you have your boom on your left side or on the right side? I put mine on the left side. I just, for some reason, it feels that much, it just feels comfortable. Some people like it on the right side, so you have to decide on that too. And the reason I tell you that, because once you get the earmuffs and boom part, usually that's the two pieces that are actually together, the two speakers and the boom mic are on one separate, when you screw it apart or pull it apart, depending on which setup you have together. And that's what we're working with right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take on this, the setup that I have, it actually screws together. And on that little, where the screw part is, you will need a jeweler's screwdriver, which I forgot to tell you. I just said screwdriver, but a jeweler's screwdriver, and there's a little set screw there. And what you're going to do is you need to take that little metal screw-in piece off, so you don't have such a big footprint when we go to put it through the muff, the bottom of the muff. So just go ahead and put it, unscrew it, it'll come right off. And what we have to do next is we actually have to drill a hole. Pull your foam out of your muff. Go ahead and pull it out of the muff. And what we're going to do next is we're going to drill in the bottom of the muff where the wire is going to hang. And basically what you're going to end up doing is you're going to take and drill it big enough. Now you have an option to kind of trim the extra plastic there. You know, that little plastic they put on right at the end of a connector. You can take and sand that down or cut it down, and then we can go back and put actually to make it look good. You can put shrink wrap there to make it look, you know, aesthetically good. So, but we need to actually, we're going to start. We need to fit the boom mic inside. And also, so we got to take and drill a hole in the bottom, and we got to make that, you know, the drill bit big enough so that connector will feed right through, and then you will get to a point where all the wires on mine, where all the wires actually attach for the mics, the boom mic, and also the two ear speakers, and you are going to fit it. Stop it right there, and this is where your hot glue comes in, and also where shrink wrap comes in, because what we're trying to do is we try to make it look nice and cover that hole up so you can't really tell, hey, it was just kind of, you know, put together, you know, so trying to make it look good is what we're trying to do. So, and so once you drill that in the bottom and you feed your connector through, go ahead and pull it down until you get to the point where all the wires are attached and hold it there. Take your hot glue gun and just start hot gluing that in there, or take super glue, and that might be the thing to do. You put super glue to really, you know, to attach it. And I wanted to, you got to make sure it's airtight, seal, you know, so you're not getting feedback still through the muff. It'd be defeating the purpose if you don't make sure that hole is nice and sealed. So that's what you're trying to do with the hot glue and the shrink wrap. So take your time, make sure that's nice. All right, once you get that actually done, we're going to take and we're going to go ahead and do the boom mic. And this is really, it's kind of scary. This is when you're going to need to solder. And it's no big deal. On the boom mic, there's a windscreen. Pull it off. There should be a cover that covers the mic, a little Phillips screwdriver that covers the mic, and you will see two wires attached to that little, actually, it's a condenser mic. And you need to pay attention. Maybe you need to mark one side of it where, we want to make sure we put them exactly back the way we had them. And you're going to take and desolder those two wires, and you'll have your little mic there to the side with the mic cover. Now, this is where you are going to, now, you realize you got to figure out, exactly, like I said, you need to know which side you're going to put the mic on. So this is where you're going to take whatever size boom mic that is. See the shaft of the boom mic? That's the size hole you're going to need. You're just going to fit the wires and the boom mic all through, and it's going to be coming out the muff. Nice and neat. That's what we're going for. Nice and neat. I don't like it to look junky. So anyway, you got the boom mic in there. This is, again, glue, hot glue. And actually, you take that Velcro pad and you stick it in there. You bend that mic boom up, right up to the side. And you can hot glue, stick it, make sure it doesn't move. Hot glue right where the boom mic goes through. Everything to keep it sealed. You always want it sealed no matter what. And that is it for getting the boom mic through the muff part. Now, you have to decide exactly. I actually drilled the hole. It's not really that critical, but you do want to drill it up from, of course. You don't want it at the bottom where the plug is coming through, so you need to come up just below where it actually, the wire attaches to the muff. Okay, so make sure you kind of figure out, you might want to sit there and place it on your ear and try to adjust it to make sure about where, what angle, or to, you know, you want it at. So, but once you got it in there, hot glued in there, make sure it's nice and secure. Now we need to solder everything back. We need to, you know, you mark the wire, be very careful, and solder it back. And now make sure when you put the mic in, it's actually pointing towards you. You'll see the hose in the little cover for the mic. Make sure it's pointing towards you. The first one I did, it wasn't pointing towards me, so I had to go back and readjust, which is no big deal. So you just make sure, like I said, you remember which side you want it on, and make sure that is actually covered, and it's no big deal and you're done. And you put the windscreen back on over the mic and that part's done. Next thing you do is go ahead and now this is where you gotta just start jamming wires in here and in the muff itself. Go ahead and take all of the, most of the mics or the speakers should have a Velcro, hear that, a Velcro piece in it. That's all, there's a Velcro piece, a little ring. You can keep those on there and you will take that Velcro piece off and the speaker will actually, you'll see the two wires are red and no, it's not marked at all. So you need to make sure, once again, you pull it off. They got a little secure sticky thing on it. Pull it off real gentle and you desolder just the one. That's all you need to do is desolder one of them, and it's the longest wire for the speakers because that one's going to go to the opposite side, okay? And once you do that, once again, what you need to do is the speaker that's going to the opposite side, go ahead and the reverse side of where the boom mic is, up towards the top, you need to drill a hole right there because the wire is basically going to feed through there, through the back of the helmet to the other side. Okay? And so go ahead and do that. Drill your hole there and feed that wire through there. And before you put the foam back in, get all your wires and stuff situated. You'll see before you, you know, get all the wires and stuff situated before you put that foam back in, because basically the wires back there, you got them all jammed in there. You got the wire coming out the top. You put the foam back in there to make it look good, but you keep the one speaker that stays on this side, the side with the boom mic, it goes on this side of the foam, you know, closest to your ear. So basically all that foam is covering up all those wires and stuff and your hot glue and everything that you had put in there. So it makes it look good. Looks really good. So you got that wire hanging out, you got the boom mic it's on, and you got the plug-in that's hanging down from the bottom of this one muff. Mine is left muff because I always like the boom mic on the left side. So then you got that wire. You can set that so over to the side and get your other muff. You already got it pre-ready. You know, you done drilled it out. You got the spacer and you're ready actually to attach it to. Go ahead and take that wire and take that other muff, the right muff for me, and go ahead and drill that hole so you can put that wire down through there. Go ahead and pull your foam out of the non-boom mic muff. Go ahead and drill your hole down through there, and that's where that wire is going to fit right down in there. And so the next thing you need to do is take and solder those wires back to the speaker. Very simple to do. Sounds like it's like, oh my God, but it's real easy to do, because what we're going to do is we're going to take that wire and we're going to run it to the back of the helmet, to the other side, to the muff. Okay, so basically right now, where you should be at, you should be connector coming through the bottom, sealed off, hot glue, shrink wrap. I think I even use fuel tubing with a shrink wrap. The shrink wrap makes it look good is what you're using the shrink wrap for. Hot glue is sealing it back off. Okay, boom mic, desolder the mic, drill. Don't forget which side you want your boom mic on. Drill it. Drill a hole, same size as the boom itself, so you don't have too much of a hole there. Solder it back together. Put the cover back on. Put the windscreen back on. Don't forget to bend it up. That helps secure it with this Velcro circle. Glue it in there. Hot glue it. Super glue. Shoe goo. Amazing goo, anything to keep it secure. So next, drill hole up through the top, opposite side up to the top, because the wire is going to go back behind your head to the other muff. Don't forget to mark, you know, when you take that ring off, the Velcro ring off, desolder, and also don't forget to move back the adhesive piece they use to keep it from moving around. Desolder, kind of mark which wire is a red, as even it should be even be a red dot there just to help you out. Okay, go ahead and feed it through that hole, get your other muff, your opposite muff ready to go, and take, and you should have already drilled a hole for the wire to go through. Go ahead and, you know, pull, don't forget to pull out the foam. Go ahead and pull the, put the wire through there. You can actually feed that wire all the way out the muff, so it'll make it easier. You know, of course, you're going to have to resolder the speaker. So go ahead and resolder the speaker. Go ahead and put that little adhesive piece on there so it doesn't move, and go ahead and you can even go ahead and just, I don't, you don't even use that ring with the Velcro, but you can just go ahead and put it on there. That also helps secure everything. So, and basically you just kind of, cool thing about this side, that's all you got to do, go ahead and feed the wire in there and get your foam in there and just kind of sit your speaker in there, and you're done with that. And basically what you should have is your muff and your communication system all lined up and ready to go. Should be the connector hanging there. Go ahead and don't forget to put that little screw piece back on there too. It takes a few seconds to put that back on. You make sure everything is sealed up, even where you screwed in or drilled into the speaker only side. Make sure, and that's, like I said, that's what the hot glue is for, is to seal everything back up. So, and if you need to go back and do that, that's easy to do. You can go ahead and glue it so it doesn't move. It's totally up to you. And actually, I would leave the non-speaker or boom mic side. Don't quite glue it yet, because we have got to feed that wire in the back of the helmet. So, and we'll take in any slack or anything like that you need. We'll take and pull it, or pull some out for that speaker on the other side. So, okay, next thing we're going to do is attach everything to the helmet. It's easy to do. So get your helmet out, and we'll go and attach it to the helmet. Now, this is where on the helmet, you have the straps coming down. That's what's cool about the Bell helmet. You got those, the nylon straps that come down and it clips in. And basically, it's going to fit right in between there. The nylon straps are going to basically fit right around it and help snug the muffs up to your ear. So you basically are going to fit it in there. Now, this is where you look at the helmet right in between where the straps are. And you are going to have to measure up. Just take the muff, and if you pull up on the wire on the muff, it'll even extend out, okay? And you will see where there's a bend. That bend goes right to the bottom of the helmet, right there at the bottom, okay? And rather than having this muff, now the first one I made, I had the muff straight up and down. You actually need to do about a 10-degree offset going back towards the helmet. For some reason, it actually feels so much better and it fits better that way. So 10 to 15, kind of play with it, and you're going to have to make sure you get them, you know, the exact on the same side. I mean, don't be too far off. You know, you won't ever get it exact unless you measure everything out like I did. You can do it by eye, but offset it just a little bit, and it fits a lot better. Straight up and down, it'd be all right, but if you offset it back towards the helmet, that's what you're looking for. And basically, you're going to set it up there, mark it with a, you can take it, actually even mark, take it apart a little bit, where you just have the black piece with the little clip in there that's holding the wire. Don't lose that, and just kind of set it up there and take a Sharpie and mark the helmet and drill right through. And this is where you take and drill it through, taking your nut and your bolt and put it all the way through. You may have to go through the foam, no big deal. Just kind of move a little bit out of the way and make sure you have a locking nut, lock it down. Now, if it's done right, you'll still have movement left and forward and back. And then now you can even like clip it open, and it'll spread open for you when you take and get everything together. So now, do the exact opposite side. Go ahead and do the same thing. Measure it out. Do it a slight degree off back towards the helmet. Put your nut or your bolt through. Put your nut through. Lock it down. You're probably going to need some washers to go up through the on the helmet side. I use washers. You may not. You're not really. It's not going to be a lot of force, so you may not need them. So now this is where the wire. You'll see the wire is hanging actually down for the speaker on the non-boom mic side. So the pad in between the helmet, the hard helmet, and the pad inside, the internal pad, basically what you do is make sure you have enough wire so when you move it or open it up, you go ahead and feed it underneath and just take a screwdriver. Be careful not to break the wire or anything,
and just kind of push it in between the helmet and the padding, all the way around to the other side. You don't need a lot of wire out, so this is where you can take and pull some wire in from the speaker on the non-boom mic side, and you know, kind of measure it out so it is. It looks good. It's all about you want it to look good. So go ahead and do that. And that's it, guys. Go ahead and reattach. You screw or push together your the other end, the plug into your radio part, and also the push to talk part. You got a communication helmet. That easy. Like I said, I'm going to do a YouTube spot. I'm just trying to talk you through it a little bit. And so I wanted you guys to... this is what I ended up doing because I wanted one and I didn't want to spend all that money. So, and the cool thing about the push-to-talk, you may fit your finger. I even, on the back of it, on the push-to-talk with the button, you might want to even put a little piece of foam in there to build it up. You can put, if you're one of the guys that actually want it on your muff, you can actually Velcro it onto your muff and still be able to, you know, how the old ones are, you push the button on the side of your muff. But I love it being in my hand so I can still, you know, use my brakes. So that's it. Very simple to do. You have any questions, you can email me. I can send you pictures until I get my YouTube spot up. I'll try to get a YouTube spot up pretty quick after I take and post this. Well, I tell you what, I ain't gonna promise anything. It's time is everything. So thank you for listening. Like I said, any questions about this, drop me a line. I'll get back to you as soon as can. I'll even send you pictures if you want me to. I'll send you on the YouTube spot. You'll see two different type of communication systems, which is really cool. The one communication system I have, I can plug my MP3 player in and listen to my MP3 player through the mic, you know, so, or not through the mic, but through the speaker. So anyway, thanks a lot. Talking PPG Radio. Hope this helped you out. This is the first MacGyver Minute. I'm looking for more stuff. Any of you guys have anything out there you're putting together that's really cool? Give me a buzz. We'll talk about it. Thanks a lot. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, there you go, guys. Just take your time. Like I said, if you need pictures on, also I will have a YouTube spot up soon. So that's about it. That's all I got for you today. I appreciate you listening. I hope we had got some good information there to you. So I'll keep this short. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Any questions, comments, anything like that, get in touch with me. Email, drop me a line, call me. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Wish I could fly to the sky so very high, just like a dragonfly. I fly above the trees, all about the seas and all the breeze, but you anywhere I please. Oh, I want to get away. I wanna fly away. Yeah. I want to get away. I wanna fly. Way, even miles, we could just be out. Let's fade into the sun, let our spirit fly, cause we are one, just for a little fun. Oh, oh, oh yeah, I want to get away, I want to fly away, yeah. I want to fly.